recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for friend. Thanks for all you do for us, man. Right, Drewski?
I'm enlightened, man. True. I've had a moment.
Drew just pulled a hard-boiled egg.
I did not know it was hard-boiled.
Out of the fridge.
Enlightened me.
I'd heard that, I think through Gina Grad, that you can tell the difference by spinning the egg on a hard surface. It spins freely, it's hard-boiled, and then if it doesn't, it's not. It
sort of wobbles.
Wobbles.
Yeah.
Because it's the content shift. Whereas they
this thing spun just like a top.
Yes.
And I would not have been able to judge that as hard-boiled, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That is the magic of Adam Carolla right there.
Mm-hmm.
I would have doubted myself and went, I don't know, I can't tell.
I suspected it was hard-boiled because there was two eggs. They were in the shelf of a fridge just alone, which it felt hard-boiled to me.
The only reason I thought it could be hard-boiled and went with it is I remember Chris boiling some eggs for me a couple weeks ago. And he threw them in the refrigerator, obviously, and there they were.
I'm having this recollection of my mom taking a pencil.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like writing an H on a hard-boiled versus a non-hard-boiled egg.
Did your mom dye Easter eggs with you when you were a kid?
We did a little, you know, to give the devil their dues. My parents had little hints of sort of...
humanity?
Yes, little hints of it. Like there were little bits and pieces of, we're going to dye some Easter eggs or... we're going to make some cookies,
nice.
Or we're going to the horse track with your cousin Vince to do it. You know,
what? But
there were.
That sounds like a gigantic leap.
Well, not my mom.
Ah.
But
okay.
My.
Okay.
My dad. Okay.
It.
My mom, there were a couple of like sort of normal behaviors early on, mainly.
Right.
That were sort of. Oh, it's a Christmas tree, and oh, it's you're five, and
you got a
Tonka truck. The leaning of the branch came later for the Christmas tree. So
is that because they were more financially distressed when they got divorced?
So here's what I think that dynamically what happened.
Yeah.
My mom and my dad, when they met, it was the 60s.
Yeah.
And the 60s, especially. Now, I don't know what year they met. I don't know how long they were together. I don't know when they got divorced. I don't know how old I was when they got divorced. I don't know how old they were when they had me. I don't know how long they've been together before they had me and my sister. When these things are unknowable because nobody knows and no one's ever asked.
Well, your dad's how old now? Let's do the math.
He's
80-something?
I'd say he's like 86 probably.
Maybe.
I don't know. Gary's got to be 86.
All right.
I'd say so.
He was about 30 when he had you, give or take. 29. Yeah?
No.
30?
No, he was like 33 or
33.
Something.
Okay.
I'm not going to make me 57 or something.
All right.
Do the math there, Drew. What
are you,
doctor? How old do you think my dad is?
I think he's
in his mid later 80s.
That's what I was going to say, mid to late 80s.
Okay.
Like probably, I wouldn't be shocked if someone told me 89, and I would also be okay if someone told me 85.
Okay.
I got it right around 86, but I don't know when his birthday is, so he could have had a birthday.
Right.
I mean, I think I've been saying 86 for a year or so.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how old my mom is or when her birthday is, but I think she might be 2 years younger than him. I don't know. Anyway.
And you were your sister's older than you?
Yeah,
yeah.
She's a year older. So they must have met. So I was born in 64.
Yeah.
They must have met in 61
yeah.
or something. And
still kind of the 50s, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like 91 is the 80s.
Well, just look at some of the baseball pitchers in 83, and it's the 70s.
You're right, right. So
like
things trail off. They trail off. So
mustaches and things.
My mom and my dad met in a time when you had to kind of have your shit together a little bit for societal impressions.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You
yep.
had to, look, where are you going? I'm leaving the house. Fix your hair.
Yeah.
Fix your hair up.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
what are you wearing? I'm wearing sweatpants and flip on. No, no, no.
Leave the house.
Put something
like that.
On, some, yeah. something decent.
What will the neighbors say?
Yeah, much less flying.
Yeah.
Flying, oh. So, you know, an ascot and, yeah. And a blazer with yeah. your monogrammed, you know, your yeah. family crest. But there was a decorum, and that decorum kind of was a little bit of a social contract, a little bit of a decorum thing, and it kind of held things together, which is you may be coming apart inside, but don't let everyone at the supermarket see that that's what's going on. And speaking of the inside and the outside, you may be a mess, but keep that lawn looking halfway decent so that the other people in the neighborhood don't know what's going on inside that house
and
inside of you.
Your mom sort of had like a beehive hairdo, and she wore like the horn-rimmed glasses. And she had I imagine her in those cotton dresses, those polyester dresses. They're sort of with the clipped-off sleeves and the sort of little bit of a shoulder, you know, the sort of 60s style.
Yeah.
Jane Jetson.
She did not have the horn-rimmed glasses. But she had a look that was very much of the period
yeah.
and very much held together. And you would not know how miserable she was
no.
by appearances
no.
because she put a little makeup on.
Yeah.
And
she looked like she came right out of the play Hairspray.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, right out of that. Yeah.
So that was fine for a while. And then the 70s showed up. And then it became about Vietnam and Indians crying by rivers that were polluted and everything coming undone.
And as you described to me one time so vividly, it was like that that honeycomb hairdo. All of a sudden, one hair went doing,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like a cartoon.
That's the beginning of the end.
One
the
hair just boing,
yeah,
and then pew, whole thing fell apart.
Yes, and that was the beginning of the end. And it was at that point she started packing on weight, not taking care of herself, and letting her hair turn gray, and just everything just kind of slid off the edge of a cliff. And but they kept it together, both of them, sort of doing their best impersonation of a happy American couple.
I've seen the pictures in the early 70s.
A couple of, no, no.
Happy is
no,
not
no,
a word
no, no.
that occurs to me.
I said they kept it together at the beginning.
Of the 70s.
No, at the beginning.
Of the marriage. I'm just trying to figure what you're saying.
The beginning okay. means the two people who didn't okay. know each other
okay.
formally.
Got it.
And now at the beginning.
Okay. We were talking about the 70s and the doing.
I know.
Got
but
it.
I said at the beginning,
got it.
They held together.
Okay.
And they did their impersonation
yep.
at the beginning of a happy American family. Of
yep.
course, I'm not talking about them in the 70s
got
because
it.
That was not the beginning and it was not any version of that.
Got it.
Later on. They both just decided to explore their misery, and this is what came of it.
Mm.
And when you then give in and explore your misery, it becomes
I think that's a new – we had to coin a new sort of cause. Explore your misery, everybody.
Well, everyone – people are doing it now, and it's a very selfish pursuit. Because you're essentially saying, I shall explore my misery.
Well, I would argue that was exploring your misery. Now it's ignoring your misery, avoiding your misery. It's a little different. It's some sort of weird, like,
no,
move
what,
on
what,
misery.
What it is...
Because no one will feel misery.
No.
Because they expect no, they're not, they'll take a pill.
Here's what's going on.
Yeah.
My mother did something very selfish, which is explore her misery.
Yeah.
Which is, I am... Look. You want what? Pot roast? I'm miserable. I think you can figure out the pot roast. I'm in here exploring my misery. You understand?
Freak
you
out.
Want a mini bike? You want a go-kart? You want to go to Magic Mountain? You want to go skiing? You want to go snow skiing? You want to go surfing? Whatever all it is, I'm exploring my misery. And I think whatever sort of quaint ideas you have about being a child all pale in comparison to what I'm attempting to do here, which is explore my misery.
Right. And in the 70s, there was a definite it's about you, man. And whatever you're into, man, don't you worry about those kids. They're just little people too. And
yeah.
they're into what they're into and they take care of themselves.
So you go out. I'm going to be in my room exploring my misery. You go outside and start living yours. And that's what I did. Just walked this, left the house, this went outside. Now, the state we're in is we're beyond exploring our misery.
Yes.
We are creating
oh.
hypothetical misery that doesn't even exist. I have to listen to people go on dissertations about Bruno Mars co-opting and appropriating black, and this would have never, and you know, Michael Jackson couldn't exist in today's climate and stuff like that. It's like, I have no, I don't even know what they're talking about. Now what you're doing is you're manufacturing misery. My mom explored her misery. That was selfish enough. Now you're branching off into hypothetical misery that I'm not even sure what it is. Most Americans think Bruno Mars is black. That's number one. Number two, I don't know what he is. People have been playing everyone's music for as long as anyone has remembered, and well, I don't even know what they're speaking of. And the notion that Michael Jackson couldn't cut it in today's climate because we're so much more racist in 2018 than we were in 1978 –
I would argue that kind of like I was listening to some Quincy Jones stuff today. It's more glorious than ever. You know what I mean? You miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hickaboo. Yeah. Go ahead, Dre.
But to that point, I watched that whole cultural appropriation argument, and I thought to myself, if we're really going to have that, why are we not going after rock music? Because rock music, in total, at least the first 10 years of it, was an appropriation of African-American music.
Yeah.
It completely.
Mm-hmm.
And why are we not – I'd love to see them go after that because people need to know that history.
Been discussed.
Not in that way that they went after Bruno Mars.
Nobody,
if you want to go after it, go after it.
No, what do you mean not in that way? I ask anyone about Elvis's career, and they'll say he ripped off the black man. Eric Clapton and the Beatles.
Hey, but correct. But go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Is that mentioned there?
Well, they try to.
That's what I'm saying.
When they're inducting, yeah. Well, but here,
I'm just saying. If we're going to do this, let's do it. That's all.
Yeah. What I'm saying is when you're inducting Chuck Berry, you into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you leave out little incidents like him filming women on the bath going to the bathroom at his restaurant,
rock and roll,
things like that.
Dude, it's rock and roll. Relax.
I'm just saying.
You're so tight, man.
Certain things they don't bring up.
They Led Zeppelin and some of those guys.
I'm jail. Look, first
I'd rather
off,
have the pee-pee stuff than,
here's
than
what
those
saying.
Guys were doing to women.
Whatever this thing that was going on last week with Bruno Mars,
that
is a manufactured misery. My mom was exploring her own. This person is pontificating about something that doesn't exist. Or if it does exist, it just sort of is. Bruno Mars probably liked Motown, probably liked Michael Jackson, maybe liked the Spinners and the Four Tops. That's obviously going to influence his brand of music. Nobody sees that as anything negative. Well, first off, imitation, sincerest form of flattery is the truest thing anyone ever said, whether it's a dance move or a hairstyle or costume or vocal quality. When you are trying to imitate something, you are imitating something because you love it.
Wouldn't you argue, though, you should give it a nod? Like, make it as you go along, make people aware that's what inspired me.
First off, when you hear Bruno Mars' song, you realize it was inspired by all those songs because it's literally all those songs. It drives me nuts. Everyone's, oh, I love that song. I love that song. It's like, yeah, I know. That's a Sam Cooke song mixed with a Spinner song mixed with everything Motown mixed with James Brown. That's all that is. Like you don't need to give it a nod. The product is the nod.
Okay.
Then know what I mean? Like that is the nod. You hear that song. It sounds like five James Brown songs whacked into one song. I don't like it for that reason.
You don't like Bruno Mars?
I recognize. Well, now that he's not black, yeah. I think I've turned the corner on the light. I thought he was black. I mean, an afro hairdo and a
Dominican,
sort of caramel. Where's he from? Huh? Is he black or not, Drew?
Not.
Okay, I like the kid. I'm a fan. Now, his...
I think he's married. I don't even know. What is he, Gary?
Nobody cares. No, who is anybody
in Hawaii?
Oh, okay, he's Hawaii.
Okay, here's the thing about Bruno Mars. He's an amazingly talented performer.
Yeah.
He has... some good songs.
Yep.
That big song that everyone loves so much, I do not love because it feels like five Motown songs that just got whacked together. It's literally like I sat around and went, take the horn section from that James Brown song and attach it to that Spinners medley over there. And it feels very
It does not feel original.
Let me ask this. He's an amazing performer.
Yeah.
Has amazing talent. I begrudge him nothing.
Yeah.
And I've watched him. I watched his TV special, like from the Apollo and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it exquisitely. Thank you.
I love this song. This song is just, we're already into it.
He's already ripping someone off with this. He's an incredibly skilled performer.
I agree.
And there's no reason for anyone to have any discussions about any appropriation.
Well, listen, same as appropriation with food. Let me ask this. You describe why you are not impressed with it, right? Because it is a mashup of five.
This particular song.
Okay. Yes. Why not? What would be wrong with it? And I'm being intentionally.
And it's also a bad song that everyone loves.
I'm being intentionally
stupid
polemical.
People like.
I like it.
Super.
Okay. I like it.
All right.
I'm being intentionally polemical, which is why not just call what you don't like about it the cultural appropriation of black music? Because that is the same thing.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, you just said I hate it because it's a mashup of five Spinner songs and James Brown and stuff. Well, why would it be different to say? And I'm really genuinely asking for an answer. It's not to be just strictly competitive.
I'm listening.
But why not describe that as I don't like it because it's an appropriation of a bunch of really good black music?
I don't like it because it's a ripoff of art that was created before.
But it's
it could
the same
be James
argument.
Taylor songs.
Okay.
It's just you're ripping off. I have the same thing with P. Diddy when he does his rap song, which just has Kashmir, Led Zeppelin's Kashmir, as a ba-na-na, ba-na-na, and all the fucking retarded people go, I like that song. Like, yeah, you do. You do, because you like Kashmir, because it's a great arrangement, and Led Zeppelin was amazing. P. Diddy talking over it about missing Puff Daddy or whatever is not the good part of the fucking song. That's the shit part of the song. The good part that you like is the part that you remember from the song, Kashmir.
So you don't like appropriation of previous art,
I don't like
period.
Any art appropriation.
Okay, right.
It feels like the opposite of art.
Art
is two parts. It's the creative part,
yeah,
and it's the execution part.
Yeah.
You, when you sample other people's music, have eliminated half of it.
So, and I'm really interested in this conversation.
You'll never talk me out of that, all assholes.
Okay, but people would argue that art sort of builds off previous
stupid
art.
Stupid people would argue. Oh, not that. Yes.
Like my son, who's a composer, always says, yeah, everything kind of builds off previous stuff.
I get it.
But you're saying you don't want them ripping off that stuff.
Yes,
it's okay to build off it. Just don't rip it off, per se.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. This is Led Zeppelin.
But I like this song. Yeah, how about we play Kashmir and I stand next to you and go, yeah. I don't know why no one's embarrassed.
Oh, I like the Kashmir.
Yeah. I have no – my biggest concern or my biggest obsession is why no one is humiliated. Why isn't he embarrassed? Why are they not embarrassed? Why isn't DJ Khaled
sort of like,
why isn't he humiliated to do what he does, which is nothing? Like what
– It's sort of like –
You take someone else's song and then you talk over it.
But there was a period – think about fine art. There was a period where like people would take the Mona Lisa and like –
Oh, the police. Yeah, I know. I was saying every breath you take – I'll be missing you. I just changed one word. That's what my fucking son did with Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Lady. That's more creative than you taking the police song and just go, every breath, yeah, I miss you, bro. It's fucking retarded. It's for dumb people. It's for dumb people and scared whitey who doesn't want to. Truly love. Come on, check it out. Seems like yesterday
we used to rock the show. Well, why then you would attack sampling anything, wouldn't you?
Yes.
So I like sampling.
If you would like If you would like to get a horn riff or something from something really obscure from the 50s or 60s and just put that horn riff in and sort of build a song around a sample of a horn riff that I've never heard before, that's fine. When you just take a super insanely popular Police song and then just lay your own fucking shit over it that I could do on a cocktail napkin in 20 minutes if I was high enough, that's zero talent. And it's a ripoff. So the appropriation thing is a two-way street. Because that's Blackie ripping off the white man.
Here's something that's not a rip-off. That's TrueCar.
Yeah.
That's right. You may not know what all the different terminology is about around car purchasing, like MSRP. You know what it stands for. What does it mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. All confusing. But now with True Price from TrueCar, you will know precisely what you're going to pay, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And you know TrueCar is a great price because TrueCar shows you a scattergram of what other people have paid for the same car, the precise car you want. So when you lock that price in, you know you're getting a fair price, and you know you're getting a price on an actual vehicle in a TrueCar certified dealer's lot, a specific vehicle. And TrueCar certified dealers set their true price competitively. They want to win your business, one dealership against the other. So when you're ready to buy new or used, you just visit TrueCar and you'll enjoy that more confident car buying experience because you know you've locked in a safe price, a fair price. You know you've got all the fees and accessories locked in, and you know it's a specific vehicle. Some features not available in all states.
All right. We will take some phone calls here. I'm vehement about this stuff.
Vehement.
I'm not a Jack White fan, but I read something where he did an article in Rolling Stones, and it was like, I don't know what DJ Khaled does. Like, he just said, like, I don't know what you do. What do you do? You play a Carlos Santana song, and then you get Rihanna to sing on it. Like, I didn't know what it – I don't know what you do. Which, by the way, that's the best – the biggest put down anyone could ever say about you career-wise is not I don't like your work. It's I don't even
understand.
I don't understand what you're doing. Yeah. What are you doing? There was this.
I thought he was a guy that played a character that was sort of a joke on what he is.
I think he may be serious about what he doesn't do. All right. Hey, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Find the song by the Jayhawks. Mm-hmm. She walks in so many ways. You don't have to play it.
I was thinking while you were talking, isn't the song White Lines a ripoff of another song? Do we know this?
No. I don't know. That I'm aware of. Anyway, Trista. 27, Michigan?
Yeah.
Hi, Trista. What's up?
Thanks. Yep.
Hi. So I was calling, I guess, to get your opinion, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, ma'am.
About 3 weeks ago, I started having this really bad pain under my right rib. I tried to treat it with Tylenol and stuff at home, and it wasn't going away. So I went to my doctor, and she asked a few questions, poked around, and pretty much assumed that it was my gallbladder. Scheduled some tests, and I actually ended up at the emergency room because the pain got so bad that I couldn't stand up. They did an ultrasound, and they didn't find any gallstones. And then I had a HIDA scan done, and it showed that I was functioning, or my gallbladder was functioning at like 41%.
Did they do a CAT scan?
Yep, they did a CAT scan. They did that.
And what did that show?
They said it didn't show anything from my gallbladder.
And this pain is, you know, your ribs there on the right upper quadrant. Does the tenderness include your ribs if you push down on your ribs there?
No, it's not. Like, it's not on my ribs. Like,
so it's
under,
below. It's below and underneath. Okay. All right. So keep going.
Yeah.
All right.
And, like, the pain will go up into my shoulder, my right shoulder, into my back. Sometimes, like, it feels like there's a band around my stomach.
Got it. Have you lost weight recently? Do you have any other medical problems?
Since this all started, I've lost 19 pounds.
Did you lose weight before it started?
No.
Have you had any nausea or vomiting?
Yeah, I've been throwing up. I can hardly eat. My doctor has me on Phenergan for that.
Did they want to do an upper endoscopy on you?
I'm waiting to see a specialist. to get in to have an upper endoscopy to be done.
All right, well, that's the next thing to do.
That what do you think thing. It is, Drew?
It's going to be something weird and obscure, whatever it is. I would not rush to have your gallbladder out, that's for sure. I would do more workup because it's not clear what this is yet. And so the more information is to be collected. I understand the hiatus showed some delayed emptying and stuff. That's kind of neither here nor there. It may have meaning, but it doesn't really have meaning yet. Does that make sense to you?
So I was just wondering if I should keep pressing that.
Yes. Don't press for surgery. Press for more workup. Because something is going on. Something is going on, and it's reasonable that it could be your gallbladder. But the kinds of symptoms you're having, I mean, there can be things that are going wrong with the actual it's called a papillae. It's the hole that spills the contents of the gallbladder and the pancreas into your duodenum. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So your pancreas and your gallbladder come together and they go and they spill into the small bowel through this little duct. Mm-hmm. And things can go wrong in that too that could be causing you trouble here. There can be even stones there.
Troy? 50, yo. Seattle, what's going on?
Got epilepsy. I've had it about a year and about 2 years now. I wonder if y'all have any advice on that. I'm in construction. I'm a plumber.
Don't know that at 50 we would call it epilepsy. Epilepsy is sort of lifelong seizuring. You've suddenly developed a seizure disorder due to what?
Yeah.
What is it due to?
That's what the doctors told me. It was epilepsy.
You saw a neurologist?
After they hooked me.
You saw a neurologist?
Yeah, yeah, I think it was, yeah.
You need to know more.
All that stuff to your head?
Yeah, yeah, but that's you're having seizures. Epilepsy is sort of a chronic seizure condition. My question is, why are you having the seizures all of a sudden at age 50? Do you drink a lot?
Not really, no.
How much a night?
No. I don't drink anything now, so they put me on the pills, but before that, I had maybe a beer or two. Okay. I never drink it. It's not something I really got into.
Okay.
Really.
Got it. And any medication you were taking at the time before the seizure medicine?
No, not at the time.
Any head injuries?
No.
Head injuries?
Nothing. Yeah, that's what they all asked me. They were surprised, too. I didn't have anything like that. Never been in nothing out of the ordinary as far as head injuries.
And how did your seizure manifest when you first had it?
I first had it after I was working on my porch. I woke up with my neighbors and the paramedics standing over me saying I'd been laying out there for about a half hour.
Right, right.
And they were a little bit concerned.
Reasonably.
Let me check his cognition. Hey, who makes a de-handled whole hog, Troy?
A de-handled DeWalt can make one. There's a bunch of varieties of that thing.
It's called the whole hog.
I like the DeWalt one.
This is bad. It's Milwaukee.
Milwaukee makes a whole hog.
Got a D-handle whole hog, the half-inch chuck.
What the fuck is a D-handle whole hog?
It's what a plumber would use to drill, a right-angle drill, to drill through studs with an auger bit to run his pecs or whatever you're running these days.
Yeah.
You must do commercial stuff, right?
I had been doing that, but lately I've been working at the UW as a maintenance guy, doing building maintenance, mechanical maintenance. And stuff like that.
Were you exposed to any weird chemicals or anything when you were over there?
No, not really. No.
All right.
They're really strict on that stuff. So.
Yeah. What's your question then?
I don't know. What the hell do I do now? They let me go because of the epilepsy, or they let me go because of the restrictions I had on my driving and my ladders after I crashed a work van, and I fell out.
Where should he go? What would you do if this was your brother?
I would do three things. I would stay on the medicine and make sure you're in appropriate levels and that the seizures are under control. I would follow up with the neurologist on that. I would continue to do workup to see if we could figure out why all of a sudden you're having these things and realize sometimes they just happen. And then thirdly, I would get those seizures under control for an extended period of time so you could return to work and driving, which is absolutely in your future for sure.
All right. I'll tell you about Hims, by the way. 65% of men start losing their hair by age 35, tender young age.
Hims.
35. Hims, forhims.com. It's one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and beyond. Thanks to science, baldness can now be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat your hair loss. Generic equivalents of name brand prescriptions to keep your hair. No gas station counter supplements or fake herbs. None of that stuff ever works. No waiting room. No awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a free trial, or I should say a trial, $5, just $5 of Hims while supplies last. So it costs hundreds at the pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/ADS. That is forhims.com/ADS. forhims.com/ADS. Try it out, man. All right, Drewski.
Yeah,
go to adamcarolla.com and find out where all the live shows. There's podcasts. There's stand-up shows. There's filming a stand-up special in Portland.
That's pretty exciting. When are you doing that?
That's June 9th, first stand-up special.
Should people come out for that? That's what you want?
That'd be nice. Yeah. Yes, you should buy a ticket, and we should sell it out.
Nice.
Drew, what do you got?
Go to drew.com, check out the family pods there. That's all. And don't forget 790 KBC, that radio show I do. We're working hard on that.
So, until next time, Adam Crawford, Dr. Drew Zay. Mahalo.